Let's turn to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24, and a passage no doubt you're familiar with, the history of your church and your faithfulness and fidelity to God's word, your founding pastor, your current pastor. Probably not much in the Bible I could show you that you don't know and that you haven't heard, but maybe we can stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance today. And it's helpful to go over things again and again and again. But let me introduce the lesson during the Sunday school hour, and then we'll pray, and then we'll read from the Bible together. This chapter focuses on two men who are sad and depressed on the greatest day in the history of the world, which just shows what's going on in our heart is not about the circumstances around us. It's about that upon which we choose to focus our attention. If you can be down in the dumps on the morning of Christ's resurrection, you can't blame it on how things are going in the world. It never been any better news than what broke that morning. Amen. But it wasn't enough to get these guys out of their doldrums. And Lord willing, I'll show you why here in the next few minutes. Father, help us this morning. We're so thankful that you gave us your words in our language. We're so thankful that you've given us the liberty and the freedom to assemble here together today. We're so thankful for the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us not to miss the joy in all of that and a thousand other blessings you bestowed upon us because we're looking in the wrong place, thinking about the wrong things. Help us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week. I love the Bible. I love the wording of the Bible. I love every word in the Bible. Don't you like that when you read this in 2020, it says now upon the first day of the week? Because what happened on that day is the most now thing you could possibly imagine. Right now, the tomb is empty. Right now, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to ever put this back in history like something that happened way back then that has no relevance upon today. This is a now truth. Praise the Lord. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. We're off to a bad start. For 3.5 years, these faithful disciples have heard Jesus Christ teach thousands and thousands and thousands of times, I'm going to die, and the third day I'm going to rise from the dead. What are you doing with spices to anoint a corpse? Something's wrong about this picture. Shouldn't they be out there with noisemakers and pom-poms and air horns and waving flags that say Jesus 2020 and excited about the resurrection? They are not in any way anticipating the Lord doing what he said he would do. Keep reading. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. I'm thankful today that I was not present to be an eyewitness of the life and the death and the empty tomb, because the people who were there who were eyewitnesses didn't believe it. And I do believe it. I consider myself more blessed to stand here this morning believing Jesus Christ rose from the dead than I would have been standing in that empty tomb looking around and saying, I wonder what happened here. How could you wonder what happened unless you just didn't believe what he said for all of those years that you followed him? They're much perplexed. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Maybe they were out looking for votes. I don't know. He's not here, but is risen. Now look, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. Now that's crucial. It doesn't say they believed his words. It just said they remembered his words. Brother, sister, maybe not today, but some of you today, maybe last week, maybe 6 months ago, maybe next week will be your turn. Our problem is not that we don't remember what Jesus said. We memorized it in Sunday school. We've heard it from the pulpit for years and years and years. We've read our Bible through once a year, every year since whenever. Our problem is not we don't remember what he said. Our problem is we don't believe it enough to live upon it. The tomb's empty. There's angels communicating with them a repetition of what Jesus taught. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Oh yeah, yeah, he did say that, didn't he? But where's the body? They know what he said. It just hasn't taken hold of their hearts. I got to tell you, I don't know about you. I know a lot more of the Bible than what I live. I know a lot more of God's word than what my feet are firmly planted upon. My problem, I would guess in a Bible-believing church like this, your problem is not a lack of information. It's a lack of confident application. Wouldn't you say that's fair? All right, so look in verse number 9, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women which were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And he said, what are the women doing at the tomb, and the apostles are still sitting back at the house? Well, those guys couldn't do anything till the women got back and made their breakfast for them. They wouldn't expect them all the way out of the tomb on an empty stomach. And now look at this. This is Peter, pillar, James, pillar, John, pillar. These are the men that are going to be the first attachments to the cornerstone upon which the New Testament church is built. Now watch this. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You know, this idea that people before Calvary look forward to the cross and people after Calvary look back to the cross, these people were at the cross and they didn't believe what they saw. This is resurrection morning, and the women come back from the tomb and say, the angel said he's risen from the dead. And Peter said, oh, no, there's no way. James said, that didn't happen. John said, well, let's get something to eat and then we'll go look for the body. The apostles don't believe that Christ is risen from the dead on the morning of his resurrection. Now, listen, brother, sister, you know what our problem is this morning? Your problem, my problem, our church, churches across America that believe the Bible and preach the gospel and say their prayers, you know what our problem is? An election is more real to us than an empty tomb. A COVID virus is more powerful than the risen Christ. Our sins are paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen from the dead. He's given us everlasting life.
Yeah, but have you heard the news?
There's always been news. How about this news? There's always been something going wrong. How about what's going right? Our problem is not a lack of information. Our problem is a lack of putting the information that we have in its proper place. They have just had the gospel preached to them. The first preachers of the gospel were women. And they preached the resurrection of Christ to apostles. How's that for theology? Good place to start, right? And the apostles didn't believe the preaching of the resurrection of Christ. Isn't that something? So we can sit here this morning, and it's been a crazy year. In February, our attendance had never been better. our outreach ministries had never had greater participation. I'm telling you, in 30 plus years, almost 35 years of pastoring in DeLand, our church had never been closer to the mountaintop than it was in February. And then what happened? Well, they sealed the tomb. No, wait a minute. Well, they got rid of the blood of Christ. No, you know what happened? We started thinking about what man was doing instead of what God was doing. And we have followed what men are doing farther and farther and farther into a hopelessness that is happening between our ears and in our hearts. It is not happening in reality. You know, the church thrived around the world for 2,000 years before there was a conservative wing of a Republican Party. You know, the church, if you read the book of Acts, the church was having a little trouble assembling and staying healthy from the start. You know, when that persecution is going on back there in the book of Acts in one city after another, do you understand that on Sunday morning, the pastor would stand in front of a congregation where people had died for their faith and said to them, let's keep going. Amen. And for 2,000 years, the church kept going. It's never been easy. It's never been convenient. It's never been without its heartaches and its tears. But neither of the lives of lost people. What do you think? You quit church and stop serving God because things didn't go your way? You're going to step out into a world and find out, wow, it's really sunny and rosy out here. What was I doing in church all these years when the world's so happy? Sparks fly upward, man has trouble. All right, so verse 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, here's why I say you're better off with the Bible than you are living back in Bible times. The boys and girls in your Sunday school classes this morning, they know what happened. How come Peter doesn't know what happened? They know where the body went. How come Peter doesn't know where the body went? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Seeing's not believing. Believing is believing. They saw, but they couldn't wrap their minds around it. I'll show you why in just a minute. We're headed somewhere. Verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Okay, so these two men, it is the morning of Christ's resurrection. It is the morning that sin, death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. And the resurrected Jesus Christ is walking shoulder to shoulder with them down the road talking to them. It doesn't get any better than that. You could, if you said this morning, okay, what would be the best thing that could possibly happen? The right answer. The right answer would be Christ risen from the dead. All my sins are forgiven, and he's right here with me. Well, isn't that a fact? Is he risen from the dead? Are your sins forgiven? Are two or three of us gathered together in his name? Then he's here.
Yeah, but my neck hurts so bad. Yeah, but you know they're going to take away our tax cuts.
Look, I'm telling you, it's not, the problem is not what's happening in the world. The problem is that we're focused on what's happening in the world, not on what God is doing. And our joy just slips right out of our heart. Keep going. And verse number 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They are sad. I say it, they're sad on the greatest day in the history of the world. Which means there's not a Sunday morning you can't walk in here singing the blues. We're capable. Every one of us capable of it. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Well, kind of. He's really just passing through. And hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Because I just defeated the devil. Yeah. And you guys are sad. I must have missed something. I just got the keys of death and hell. I can now set free the souls of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever sinned. But you guys are frowning. I must have missed something. And you know, it's almost like the Holy Spirit could come in here this morning and say, where's the chatter? Where's the enthusiasm? Where are the smiles? I must have missed something. Did something happen that I don't know about? Yeah. Tell me so I can be as sad as you are. I don't want to be full of joy if I'm supposed to be frowning. Take a look at this. And he said unto them, what things? And they said, why, the mask mandates. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I'm going to show you the key to the whole thing. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Look, here's the key to the whole thing. But we trusted. It's past tense. We did trust, we don't trust. We did have confidence, we don't have confidence. We did believe, we don't believe. What turned them from people who would follow this Messiah for 3.5 years, leave their whole life behind just to be near him, to now they are totally dejected, totally depressed? What happened? We trusted that it had been he which, if you're a Bible marker, here's the two words, should have redeemed Israel. Now, brother, sister, I don't know you. I've met a very few of you. But I know in a church this size, there are saved men who never thought God would let their wife do what she did. There are saved women who never thought that boy they married that grew up in church would be where he is on Saturday night. There are people here that read the manual. If you do these 5 things, all your children will be spiritual giants. And this morning you're praying the first thing you do when you wake up for your adult children to get right with God. I never thought you could teach the Bible and win people to Christ and have them split the very church that they were baptized in. You know what happened here? These men had it in their mind what Jesus should do for them. And when Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do, they stopped trusting him. Well, we followed this Jesus until we saw him die on the cross, and now we don't trust him anymore because we think he should have set up his kingdom. We thought he should have overthrown the Roman government, and he didn't. We thought he should have used his miracle-working power to walk away. We thought he should have struck down Pilate and struck down those scribes and Pharisees and established his throne. And if he's not going to do what we wanted him to do, we're done with him. Now, brother, sister, my life has been compared to the people I minister to and try to help. My life's been so easy. My life has been so blessed. I was born in this country. That's a big blessing. And you talk about walls and borders and preserving your culture and all the rest of that. If you lived in Cuba, you'd be trying to get in here. If you lived in Panama, you'd be walking north. I'm just telling you, God was good to me when I was born. My father, I don't want to bring any reproach on him. The pictures I have of my father when he and my mother got married, he's got a beer in his hand, he's got a cigarette in his hand. When I was born, my father quit drinking and quit smoking because he didn't want me to be a drunkard or a cigarette addict. God's been good to me. Very good. Let me live in a land where the gospel is everywhere. You got to try to go to hell in America. I wasn't born in a Muslim country. I wasn't born in North Korea. God's been good to me. If you know what my problem is, your problem is, for all our criticism of charismatic preachers, you think God's supposed to heal you. And for all our criticism of that Benny Hinn crowd, you think God's supposed to give you a good job and a comfortable retirement. You think if we have a prayer meeting, God is supposed to take the controlling power of the governments of this world away from Satan ahead of time so we have it easy till the rapture. Come on, I'm just being honest with you. We are depressed because God didn't give us a perfect marriage or perfect children or a perfect life or perfect health or perfect finances. He never said he would do any of those things. We just thought he should. And if God doesn't do what we think he should do, we are sad staring at an empty tomb. We are sad with Christ walking beside us. Isn't that a fact? Now, I've been to a lot of third world countries, not as many as some of you have, but I've done mission trips and preaching trips and vacation trips to third world countries. And the conditions these people live in and the food they have to eat. You know what you don't have? 60% of the population lined up at a pharmacy to get psych meds because they're depressed.
Yeah, right.
You know why? Low expectations.
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to be depressed when you didn't expect much more than to be hungry when you went to bed at night. And you know something? That you move to the second world, whatever that is, and the first world, and the developed nations, and the money elite. The higher you get, the more depression and sadness and talk about suicide and taking my life because the expectations are so high that they can't be met. I don't care which side you're on. You know how you campaign every 4 years for president? You tell people in the richest, most prosperous, most well-fed nation in the history of the world, I'll change all this for you. You got it so bad, let me fix it. So people come to church, and what do they want? God to give more money, God to make people be nice to them, God to let their favorite president stay in office or get in office, depending on... For God to heal them. Listen, we got people right now I'm thinking of two people. They have dropped out of church this year because someone they loved and prayed for didn't get healed. They died. Now listen, I'm not making light of somebody you love dying. Did God promise everybody's going to live to the rapture? You'd have people walking around here that were 1,900 years old. This is grandma. We prayed for her back in AD 150 and God answered our prayers. She's like, thanks a lot. 1,900 years with a walker. You know, my back is killing me. And I was like... I don't know you, but I do love you and I do care about you. But look at your prayer list. It's not about your anger or your temper or your refusal to witness or your. It's about your body. It's about your job. It's about all the things we think God should do for us. And if he doesn't do what we wanted him to do, we are sad with Christ standing shoulder to shoulder with us and the tomb empty. Now, fortunately, Jesus is, he's gracious, he's patient, he's merciful, he's tender-hearted, he's understanding. Watch how he eases their sorrow here. Verse number 25, then he said to them, "O fools." He just puts his arm around each of their shoulder and says, "You guys are idiots." He's like, you know what a fool is? A fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." When I'm depressed and I get depressed, when I'm down in the dumps and I get down in the dumps, it's because I have become a temporary atheist. I have stopped thinking about what God is doing, and I've begun to think about what God should have done and didn't do. You've said it. "I don't know why the Lord let this happen to me." Really? You want to go there? You want the Lord to say, "Okay, let's review." Love your neighbor as yourself. How you doing with that one? Yeah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How you doing with that one? Right. I mean, if the Lord started going down the line, he could make it pretty clear why this happened to me. Yeah. "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Is that what the Bible says? Yes. Is that what the Bible teaches? Then why are you unhappy that Pilate is still in office? Why are you unhappy that Caesar is still on the throne? Why are you unhappy that the scribes and the Pharisees are still in the palace this morning? You have tried to manipulate God into making your world a better place to live, and God is going to do what he said he was going to do. You want to get happy? Get on the same page with God. You want to be sad? Ask God to do something different than what he said he would do in the Bible.
"Well, I just don't, that's not what I wanted to hear. I want to...
What do you want, an angel to show up? An angel showed up. Yeah. What do you want, to see a miracle? There's a miracle. Now watch what he does. Watch how he gets them out of their sadness. 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Get your eyes on the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Not on the Jesus Christ of your hopes and your wishes and your imagination. Because the Jesus Christ of the Bible will never let you down, because he'll never break a single promise. You start asking him to do things he never said he would do, you're going to be disappointed. He's not going to let you down. You're just going to be let down. Because you wanted something that's outside of the scriptural promises. Is that fair?
Yes.
28. "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it was toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." When I speculate, I like to put a little warning down at the bottom of the screen. Warning, speculation. So I'm speculating. I don't know this, but I'm speculating. How would you like to have a man sit across the table from you, and he reaches you a piece of bread, and when you take the bread out of his hand, you see wounds in those hands. And before they could say, it's you, he's gone. And he's serving them bread. And as soon as they knew him, he vanished out of their sight. Stay with me. Look at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? What got to their heart? The scriptures. The scriptures got to their heart. What do you have this morning? The scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And it appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way and how he's known of them in breaking of bread. Now look, they're dragging their feet down this road to Emmaus. They are sad. They are depressed. They are disappointed. Now they're running back to Jerusalem to tell the good news. You know what changed that day? Not one single thing outside their hearts. When they're walking away from town sad, Christ is risen from the dead. When they're running back excited, Christ is risen from the dead. What changed? Not the world. What they were focused upon. What changed? Not a single circumstance, not a single event. When they're running back to Jerusalem full of joy and excitement, Pilate's still in office, Caesar's still on the throne, the scribes and the Pharisees are still in the palace. But now they have adjusted their hearts to a scriptural view of life. And now that their hearts don't, look, their head knew the facts. But now their hearts believe the report. And it's lifted up their hands. It's strengthened their feeble knees. It's turned their frown into a smile. Their sorrow is turned to joy, not because the recount changed the election, not because the vaccine took the virus away, but because they got back to believing what God said in His Word. And all of a sudden, what Christ had done was bigger than what he hadn't done. Is that fair?
Yes.
I have family members that are lost. I go to sleep at night thinking about them and praying for them. I sure am glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. I got up this morning and was praying for people that have fallen away from our church. A few weeks shut down was not a good thing for new converts. A few weeks shut down was not a good thing for people who are hanging by a thread. The excuse of, I can't get sick at Walmart or at work, but I might get sick at church has been ready-made for some people that had one foot in and one foot out. But also this morning I woke up knowing we got a great church full of people that love Jesus. Now, where are you going to settle, brother? Where are you going to settle, sister? Are you going to set your heart upon the things you wanted God to do and He hasn't done and be sad this morning? Or are you going to set your heart on the fact that every promise He ever made, He will keep without fail? Everything He said in His Word will come to pass just as He wrote it. Let's be excited about a God who does all of these things instead of sad because He didn't do that one other thing. That's the cure for it. That's the cure for it. The Bible says in verse number 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? So let's say one last thing and then we'll take a little break. These two men are in fellowship at the start of their journey down the road to Emmaus. They have not forsaken the assembling of themselves together. What they are doing, however, as they walk down that road, is they are feeding one another's disappointment. They are promoting the other person's sadness. How you doing today?
Not very good. How about you? Not very good. Did you hear the news? Yeah, I heard the news. How about you? Yeah, I heard the news. The body's gone. All the major media outlets say the body's gone. So I went to my secret websites that know the real truth. And they all said the body was gone. And then the other guy says, yeah, you know, I used to get some good information about that you know, I thought would tell me where the body was, but they've blocked all that. Guy pulls out his clay tablet and he says, look, I can't get access to any of the good stuff on here. They chiseled it right out before I could read it. You know, brother, this world stinks. It's run by the devil through principalities and powers. The kings of this world belong to who knows who. It doesn't matter who. Till Jesus Christ come back, the whole thing's a disaster. Do I want to come here on Sunday morning and hear about more of that? Look, I'm not being critical. We had prayer meetings. We're going to keep having prayer meetings for lost people and missionaries. And we had prayer meeting about the election and all that stuff. We've had prayer meetings about the virus and the whatever you think of the Wuhan stuff. Okay? But when I come to church, it's my one time in the week to be around saved people. I don't need another dose of what lost people are talking about. I don't need another dose of what I'm getting on the job. I don't need another dose about what the news media is putting out. Now, at the end of the chapter, these same two guys are still in fellowship. But now their fellowship is, come on, hurry up. We got to go tell them. Come on. We got to go let them know that Jesus has risen from the dead. And when they got to that house and the guys opened the door, they said, hey, have you heard? Christ has risen from the dead. You know, we were coming to tell you Christ has risen from the dead. Brother, it's not enough to just come to the place of fellowship and be under the same roof together. Let's come to the place of fellowship and encourage one another in the things of God that are written in the scriptures. Let's don't get together and drag each other farther down into our pity party. I'm not trying to... I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm not trying to rebuke you or overstep the line. I'm just telling you. Jesus' blood has not been affected by any current events for two millennia. The tomb's still empty. We still have an intercessor at the right hand of the Father. He's still our advocate in the presence of God. He is coming any day and sound a trumpet and catch us up to be with himself. Nothing God promised has changed. Amen. He just might not have done some things we thought he would do. Some of you, let me remind, we got 3 minutes and 8 seconds. Let me remind you, some of you said, God, if you don't let Hillary win, I'll never ask for anything else again as long as I live. Okay, you used it up. You had one wish and you used it on that. Brother, look, however this thing turns out, there'll be another thing. However that turns out, there'll be another thing. Whatever the doctor tells you this year, it probably won't be as bad as what he's going to tell you next year.
We have got to learn to stand not on our wishes, but on the promises. We've got to stand not on what we trust God is going to do for us, but what He said He was going to do for us. The key words in that passage, we trusted because we knew what He should do. Here's a better approach. Lord, You know what You should do, and help me to be perfectly all right with that. Then there'll be no disappointment. No disappointment. I get down the dumps. Honestly, don't you get down the dumps sometimes? I get discouraged. Don't you get discouraged sometimes? I want this to be the place where I come to get over it. Not the place where I come to get more of it. Fair enough? Brother, this morning we're going to sing some songs about the only hope we ever had. We're going to hear some scriptures about the only hope we ever had. And as long as the only hope we ever had is still our hope, we'll have a happy day. Amen, amen. All right, Father, help me not be a hypocrite. Lord, I get so dragged down by things people do, by things that I thought were going to go differently in the church, out of the church, in the family, on the job. Father, help us not just to know what the Bible says, but to believe it. And not to live expecting You to do things You never said You would do, but to live rejoicing and knowing that You keep every promise that You ever made. Help us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.